and Hollywood. There's about 500 people here that are rallying to go on a march down Hollywood Boulevard to Cahuenga and rallying at the CNN building. And they're protesting Bush and his policies on the night of the State of the Union message.
And how many people are out there right now?
I count about 500 people, but more people are arriving.
Excellent. And are there a lot of is there a big police presence?
The police presence is fairly minimal. There's just people here for crowd control and traffic officers. It's a fairly peaceful event.
And any signs that stick out? Any like special signs that come to your attention?
Well, this is an event that's organized by the World Can't Wait organization, which is an organization that's trying to mobilize people to get Bush to step down or have him impeached and get the Bush regime out of power. So there's a lot of signs about Bush stepping down or Bush being impeached or brought up in criminal charges and such.
Are you anticipating any quality media coverage?
You mean the corporate media?
Yeah.
I don't see any corporate media vans here. But I'm on the there's people are gathered from Highland all the way to I guess the next block. So there's a full block of people that are assembled here. And maybe the media is on the other side.
I was always curious about the kind of protests that are focused on a particular speech. Do you think people will be listening to the speech, like on shortwave radios or something like that, and responding? Or will everybody go home right before the speech to watch it?
Oh, you mean the State of the Union or the speeches here tonight?
The State of the Union.
I don't know. I think most of the people here have heard enough lies from the current president, and they're just not really interested in hearing any more. So they're having a speech here where Bianca Jagger is going to speak and also Gord Vidal, a number of other speakers. And that's in front of the CNN building. That starts at about 7 on Cahuenga and Sunset.
Excellent. Do you expect a lot more people will be showing up in the next few hours?
I think if this is like some of the other rallies, it could grow to about 1,000 people before the end of the evening.
How many rallies have you attended as part of IMC?
I have no idea. Hundreds.
So what do you think?
I will call back if I can get some people, if you'd like to do some interviews with some of the...
Yeah, or if anything interesting happens and you want to share it with us, I'm just here doing the news. I'll just be reading articles, so I'll stop whatever I'm doing to talk to you.
Okay, great. Thanks so much.
All right, no worries.
Okay, bye.
Bye. This is John. You're listening to the Kill Radio Tuesday News. Today is January 31st, 2006. It's State of the Union Day. Da, 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 da. But first, let's do the usual thing from IraqBodyCount.net. Number of civilians reported killed by military intervention in Iraq, minimum 28,287. Maximum 31,891.
Hail to the scumbag, the motherfucking president. Fucking piece of shit. Scumbag asshole, fucking retard, scumbag.
Ah, yes. I have a very special edition of the Kill Radio Tuesday News. Some of you have listened to my show know that I do a feature called Mom's Emails, because my mother sends me all these great op-ed pieces and things that are getting her all riled up. Well, I actually have Mom of Mom's Emails in the studio today, so we're going to talk to her later in the hour. Also, some exciting things going on right now. Over at Hollywood and Highland, there's a large protest going on because it's State of the Union Day, and people are out there protesting the huge raft of bullshit that they've been getting over the past several years, and the condensed, shall we say, bullion of bullshit that we're going to hear later this evening. I also have some articles that I want to read, some media files. But anyway, James from IMC, the Independent Media Center, is going to call in from that protest, and hopefully we'll be able to talk with him and maybe some other people there about what's it all about. In the meantime, while I'm loading this up, let's get a little hello from Mom of Mom's emails. Mom, say hello.
Hi, everybody. This is Mom.
And hey, how come you're out here in California? Where are you coming from?
I'm coming from near Baltimore over on the East Coast, and I'm here because I needed to meet the new grandson.
Ah, well, congratulations.
Not yours.
No, not
yours.
Mine. Not mine. I'm an uncle.
Your brother's.
Yes, yes. And what are you expecting from the State of the Union tonight? We'll talk about all this other stuff later, but just while
what
I'm looking for
I
these
expecting?
Emails.
I'm expecting pure bullshit is what I'm expecting.
How have you come to expect such pure bullshit?
Because I've been living under the presidency of George Bush for, what, 5 and something years now?
Mm-hmm.
And that's all we've ever gotten from him.
Wow. And do you think there's any chance that he's going to say something new?
I would doubt it.
Now, you didn't always used to be this up in arms about things. I mean, I used to be generally, you know, just a liberal Democrat, right? I mean, but now you seem to be pretty
a raving lunatic.
You seem to be pretty upset about things. Why? What's the big deal? I mean, from one generation to the next, what is it about this president that is so shocking to you that may or may not be as shocking to me?
I'm just outraged at what he's done to my nation.
What has he done?
This is a man who claims democracy, democracy, democracy. This is what it's all about. This is what we're fighting for. As he corrupts whatever democracy is left in the United States of America. And I'm really outraged by it. It's just nauseating to me. I really don't want to live in a theocracy. And in case nobody's been watching, that's what's happening here. We're becoming the very theocracy that he claims to be fighting in all these countries in the Middle East.
Hmm.
And I'm outraged by it. Not to mention the fact that I'm outraged that all of my tax dollars are going down the toilet at Halliburton.
So it's Halliburton. While
the local schools are falling apart. Children have no health care. The roads and bridges are falling down.
Did you support this war at all? Was there any part
you
of
you?
You
are joking.
Yeah, no, I know. But I mean, was there any part of you that thought for a second that this war had anything to do with anything other than Bush's whack job agenda?
No, I think that George W. Bush was determined to go into Iraq ever since the day that his father didn't go into Iraq during the war when they intervened in Kuwait to kick the Iraqis out of Kuwait. And I think that W just decided, hey, I'm going to show my daddy how to really do it because I got bigger nuts than he has.
What's your take on Hillary Clinton?
I don't really like Hillary Clinton. Clearly, if she was a Democrat running, I would vote for her and support her. But I think she's pandering to too many interests, and she's not honestly standing for anything. I'd much rather see Bill running again, if that were possible.
Like Bill running from one McDonald's to the next?
Or? No, no, no. You know what I mean.
Okay. Well, since we're on that topic, I have a video from truthout.org. Cindy Sheehan is thinking of running for something. And this has to do with Hillary Clinton, and I thought you might like to hear it. This is from truthout.org. Actually, Cindy Sheehan's in Venezuela right now. But anyway, this is what she had to say. Hopefully this will play without shutting down the entire system.
Well, Cindy, here we are. It's the end of the social forum. Up in the United States, there's some pretty interesting stuff going on with the Alito hearings, and how's that affected you?
Well, personally, I believe that if Samuel Alito is confirmed, it'll be a disaster for our country for the rest of the time our country is a country. Do you know what I mean? It's going to affect the future generations by his rulings. His rulings have been proven to be pro-government, pro-use of force, even deadly force for just, small infractions, and pro consolidating more of the power in the executive branch of our government. And, I mean, George Bush has already taken too much power to himself. And, you know, this could he could be ruling on some things that are directly related to George Bush.
Do you think we'd end up with a rubber stamp Supreme Court?
Even more so than we have right now.
Yeah.
And so when I heard that my senator from California, Dianne Feinstein, who is also on the Judicial Committee, said that she would not support a filibuster of Alito, as a matter of fact, that she would discourage Democrats from doing that, that was like the last straw. She's abysmal. Her record on Iraq is indefensible to me. You know, she's done other things like introducing Condoleezza Rice for her confirmation hearings and voting for her, calling John Negroponte a fine public service servant, you know, when we all know about the death squads and things he did in Central America. Yeah. You know, she does not represent the people of California. She represents special interests, and she is a Republican in Democrats' clothing. And the people of California are overwhelmingly against the war in Iraq.
How about the people of the United States?
The people of the United States are overwhelmingly against the war in Iraq, too. And our leaders finally have to represent us and our values. And so we issued a challenge to her yesterday saying if she didn't support a filibuster of Alito, that I would run against her. Well, within 2 hours, it was announced that she was going to support a filibuster of Alito. And that was very interesting. I don't know if it has anything to do with me, but I thought if we can affect, you know, policy that way, then what if I run against her in the primaries and challenge her primarily on her record in Iraq? And I'm definitely thinking about it.
Do you think you stand a chance of winning this primary and possibly the general?
Well, I don't think I would go into it if I didn't think that I had a chance of winning. You know, I've fought many uphill battles before, and I actually think running against her in the state of California will be far easier than what I'm doing now, traveling all the around the world. You know, at least for the primaries, at least I would be in the state of California the entire time. And you know, I almost feel like I'm in a political campaign right now. I go all over the world meeting people, shaking hands, you know, kissing babies. But it's something that I really love. You know, I just love meeting people and connecting with people. And I think that's one thing I have an advantage over Dianne Feinstein is I am a real person, you know, and I would be coming from my heart and my soul and my brokenheartedness still trying to affect policy on the war in Iraq and trying to prevent other mothers from going through what I'm going through.
Well, people are going to connect with that instantly, especially, I mean, just the whole climate of the country has shifted ever since you came out onto the forefront. But, you know, when you become senator, what is going to be your biggest priority? Do you have any issues that are going to really take forefront?
My biggest priority will be calling for an immediate end to the occupation of Iraq and working tirelessly to do that thing, just like I am right now, you know, to get our kids home, to really force our government to solve problems peacefully and not always resort to violence and killing, and fight the corporatism, the corporate control of our war machine, of our media, you know, of the government. You know, this is something that we have to fight against. We have to take our country back. We have a lot of anti-war, pro-peace candidates running all over the country.
It's
and this
true.
Will give them a platform also.
Oh, no, you would definitely, you know, throw an umbrella over there, because I hear that, like, of the 11 or so Iraq war veterans who are running for Congress, 9 of them are Democrats.
Mm-hmm. Oh, see, and they've already started to form a coalition, but if I jump in the mix, then it would be just right out there in the forefront of the American consciousness.
It'll give it momentum.
And that's enough of that. And of course, 9 of those people are Democrats. Most of the Republicans have gone AWOL, if they ever served at all. Good times, good times. I want to see if this other media file plays or if it's going to crash the system. This is a poem, would you believe it, that I found on Guerrilla News Network. Guerrilla News Network is a pretty cool place to get your news. Anyway, let's see if this plays. Wish me luck. poem by Talam Acey of Guerrilla News Network.
There's nothing more romantic than fantasy, and we can make the war on terror distract them like videos and TV shows with scantily clad women. Cover them with oil, rub it in like lotion, put F-16s in the skies and battleships in the ocean. The voters won't notice. Tell them you're either with us or you're against us, and in the same breath over-vaccinate our soldiers. They'll want to believe these lies are the truth to the point that even Cynthia McKinney with proof won't be able to convince them that there's a connection between the war on terror and the Carlyle Group. They'll need to believe these lies are true. I said over-vaccinate our soldiers and coat their ammunition with radioactive DU. Fear is the final frontier of the defenseless. If it's logical, tell them it's senseless. You're either with us or you're against us. It's all about confusion. Name it the Patriot Act if it acts against the Constitution. One man, one vote is a joke. You should be more concerned about your family being broke. Poof. Mirrors. Smoke. Now watch me raise spending and lower taxes. The answer to any question that the 911 Commission might ask is, we believe that stem cell research is immoral. North Korea has WMDs. Translation, time for Operation Iraqi Freedom. Sacrifice American lives on Baghdad soil. Earn more from our investments in defense and increase our supply of oil. The question is, how come we haven't done anything about the genocide in Darfur? The answer is, we believe in protecting the sanctity of marriage. Just give them a slogan. Let's roll. We're gonna smoke them out of their holes. Watch the hands. Watch the hands. In this hand, Osama bin Laden. In this hand, the World Trade Center explodes. Now, I know you want me to get them for you, but the $200 billion question is, how much is it worth to you for me to allow my cronies' investments in defense to work for you? Don't worry about what we knew prior to the fact about the attacks. That's a distraction. Carol Ann, look away from the oil fields. The important thing to remember is that voting for my opponent will get you killed. There's a connection between his election and your family's demise. That's why African-American voters have to be disinformed. Machine companies get to help us decide. That way you can win the election and still lose. That's the new world order. Global economy, no borders, no sovereignty. Widow's cries, corporate plutocracy. True lies.
And there you have it. That's from Guerrilla News Network. That was a poem by Talam Acey. You should check that out. It's got some cool animation behind it as well. For those of you just tuning in, today is January 31st. This is the Kill Radio News. And right now, at this very moment, there's a State of the Union emergency. Bush, please step down. Take your program with you. There's a protest going on at Hollywood and Highland. We have their representatives from the Independent Media Center there, and they will hopefully be calling in sometime during the hour to let us know what's going on, and perhaps we can interview some people that are there. If you're just sitting at home and you're not too far from Hollywood and Highland, why don't you go down there and check it out? They're says here, all across the country, joining our rallies 1 hour before Bush's State of the Union address to make our determination to drive out the Bush regime, the political message of the day. Starting at 6 p.m. Pacific, just as Bush starts to speak, everywhere we will bring the noise. In a cacophony of sound, we will drown out his address with music, from drums to violins, from hip-hop to classical, and with noise, banging on pots and ringing church bells, sounding car horns and lifting our voices. The agenda for 2006 must not be set by Bush, but by the people and our millions, determined to stop this whole disastrous course. I am lucky to have my mother here in the studio with me today, visiting to celebrate the birth of her grandson, not my kid, my brother's kid. And anyway, some of you who have listened to my show may be aware of Mom's email. She sends me all the coolest stuff that I like to read on the air. Mom, welcome again. Thanks for being here.
Hi, kiddo.
So it says here on Saturday the 4th, there's another demonstration in Washington, D.C., and you're coming out from Maryland. Have you attended any demonstrations yet over the past several years? You haven't had a chance?
No, I really haven't had a chance. They always seem to be someplace that I can't get to at the time that they're running.
But you did do some footwork for Kerry in 2004, right?
Yes, I did. I live in Maryland, but Maryland looked pretty safe for Kerry, so I went on up to Pennsylvania and pounded on doors in Pennsylvania. And the part of Pennsylvania I was in was clearly Bush country. It was an interesting experience. What would you like to hear about it?
Well, first of all, what is it that you're doing and what you're volunteering for? Was it knocking on doors or?
Yeah, we were knocking on doors and encouraging people to get out and vote and giving them, of course, you know, the propaganda that they needed to know.
The good propaganda.
The good propaganda. We gave them some leaflets and stuff and asked them if we could put signs on their lawns. And in general, asked them what their thoughts were, how they felt about what was happening to the country. And I had interesting reactions because they gave us specific doors to knock on. And these were all off of lists of known Democrats. They didn't want us knocking on doors of Republicans.
So it was either people who weren't sure if they're going to vote or people who were definitely going to vote for Kerry.
Yeah, but what happened was a lot of times the information they gave us was outdated.
Oh.
So we would knock on doors that would turn out to be...
terrorists.
Yeah, something like that. Turn out to be Republicans. I had the door shut in my face on a couple of occasions before I even opened my mouth because, of course, I had all these Kerry stickers and things on me so that I was clearly identified as to who I was there for.
Plus, as a liberal, you carry around this sort of
aura,
hue, this bluish hue.
I have this aura that says I am a raving liberal. Yes, yes. But I think the most interesting encounter that I had was a little chat I had with one of the I'm Not Decided people. And as we know, they're the ones supposedly who determined the turnout of the election. That's before we knew for sure that it was Diebold
that,
determined who became president.
You know, I was hacking into Diebold the other day. And,
were you really? Yeah. I'll bet you were.
Anyway,
I knocked on this door and a young mother answered the door. She had a toddler, you know, sitting on her hip there. And I asked her if she was planning to go out and vote. And she said, I'm one of those undecided people. I'm sure you don't want to talk to me. And I said, no, I very much want to talk to you. Can you tell me what it is that you're undecided about? And she said to me, well, honestly, I do not like George Bush. I don't believe in anything that he's doing or what he stands for, but I am very pro-life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm really on the fence. I don't know what to do.
And that's particularly poignant now, a few years later, with Alito being confirmed.
Yeah, well, let me tell you... Be quiet. Let me finish.
I'm just trying to help you out here. Sorry,
let me
Mom.
Tell you what I said to her. I said very calmly, I said, well, let me throw a thought out at you. And, you know, I'm not trying to pressure you, but do with it what you will. I said, you say that Bush is pro-life. You know that when he was governor of Texas, he was responsible for the assassination of more prisoners. More prisoners. Who may or may not have been guilty.
As much as I'd love to credit Bush with the sniper rifling people from the White House.
But he was responsible for more deaths as governor,
right.
I believe, than all executions in this country.
Certainly more than any other governor in the nation's history.
Yeah, but I do think it was actually at that time more than all the other executions.
Cumulatively?
Added up. Cumulatively.
Wow.
I said, and we're in Iraq killing innocent civilians. Forget the reasons that we're there for, but he's killing innocent civilians, and he really doesn't care. And this is the man who says, I'm pro-life, all unborn children have to be born, but once they're born, I don't care if I provide any health care for them, they can die.
Right.
That's not important. I said, so really, Bush is not pro-life. Bush is just anti-abortion. And that is not the same thing. And I was kind of looking down at my papers, not wanting to stare her right in the eye because I'm such a formidable woman. I didn't want to terrify her.
Plus, but if her head exploded, you didn't want to get anything in your eye.
I mean, I finished what I was saying. Then I kind of looked up and looked in her eyes. And this poor woman was standing there crying. She had tears streaming down her cheeks. And she said, I never looked at it that way. You have to excuse me. I don't know what I'm going to do. I really don't. And she just went into her house. And I was really shocked because this was one of those famous undecided people.
Right.
And she really was undecided. And I think I don't know if I tipped her off the fence or if I just scared the daylights out of her. But I did.
She probably killed herself.
I did put a thought in her head that she hadn't had. Bush has got his followers so brainwashed that if he says it, it's true.
Well, it's like in the poem that we're just listening to. I mean, you're either with us or you're against us. It's all very black and white.
It's very black and white.
He could never express any sort of complicated issue. And, you know,
The man doesn't have two neurons to rub together. How complicated could his speeches get?
You're pro-choice, I'm pro-choice. But even that is, I'll admit, a complicated issue. It's not a, oh, you're either, you know, for killing babies or you're against it. It's,
yeah, but it's, you see, this is sort of a misnomer that's hanging out there with the Republicans or the right-wing fanatics or neocons, whatever you want to call them, are saying is not we're pro-life. They're saying we're pro-life, you're pro-abortion.
Right.
I don't know anybody who's pro-abortion. There's a real hell of a difference between pro-choice and pro-abortion. I don't think anybody can really say, oh yeah, I'm for abortion, I think it's great. I think what they're really saying is, if the circumstances are such that I really can't have this child for whatever reason, because I know it's going to be born with three heads, because I know it's going to have a disease that it'll get, have a miserable life, or because I just can't afford to have a child at this point in my life, I should have that option of saying I am not going to have a pregnancy.
It's more about the option than anything else.
Absolutely.
It's about civil rights and women's rights. It's not about whether or not people should or shouldn't be making those decisions. It's that they have the right to make those decisions on their own.
Absolutely.
And the government shouldn't be making it for them. But Alito was officially confirmed today.
One of the worst days in the history of the United States of America.
There was
no filibuster.
Imagine four Democrats voted for him.
I'd sure like their names.
Well, Robert Byrd was one of them.
Against them.
The guy from Nebraska,
it
South
really
Dakota,
really surprises
and,
me that
West
Robert.
Virginia.
It surprises me Robert Byrd.
Excuse me, just one moment. We're getting a call on the Kill Radio.
I'll finish this later.
Kill Radio. Hello. No one by that name here.
Okay, looks like this was a false alarm call.
I'm sorry? No, this is not. I was hoping that would be James from the protest, but actually was just a wrong number. This is not the Yam residence.
Let me get back to that. The reason I'm shocked, well, I'm just going to say this. I can't imagine somebody worse that Bush could have chosen for the Supreme Court. That said, who knows?
Robertson.
Okay, you're pushing your luck. I'm going to have to smack you now. I'm surprised Robert Byrd voted to accept him because Robert Byrd is such a proponent of the Constitution of the United States.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was last year he wrote this book about the Constitution, and he was on a tour with his book, you know, doing the radio and TV circuits promoting his book. And he was asked, why did you write this book? And he would hold up the book he had just written. He said, I wrote this book so that I could protect this book. And then he would whip out his copy of the Constitution from his jacket pocket. This man is always talking about the Constitution and the importance of the Constitution and what the Constitution stands for and what Bush is doing to the Constitution, trampling all over it. So I don't quite understand why he would support it.
I think it's all very, very simple and really quite obvious. The man is very, very old.
Yeah,
and
but I don't think
know,
he's senile.
Old people,
I'm sorry.
Often get confused.
No.
And okay. I want to give you guys a little update on the state of the onion. This is from the AP. Just a little blurb that they have on there. Terrence Hunt from the AP, White House correspondent, hampered by huge budget deficits and an unpopular, to say the least, war. President Bush on Tuesday was to call for training 70,000 math and science teachers to do his job for him. I mean, to improve the nation's competitiveness, and declared that America must break its dependence on Mideast oil. It's so disingenuous. He doesn't mean that. Yeah. Oh, anyway, he declared that the, quote, the state of our union is strong, despite Americans' anxieties about the war in Iraq, the economy, soaring energy costs, and rising energy prices. Oil prices are inching towards $70 a barrel, throwing a cloud over the economy and pinching Americans' pocketbooks. America is addicted to oil, which is often imported from unstable parts of the world, Bush was to say as he sought to drive the election year agenda in his annual State of the Union address. Bush would call for increased federal research into alternative fuels, such as ethanol made from weeds or wood chips, instead of corn. Well, the State of the Union is, I guess it's probably going on right about now, or at least it's about to start. And who knows what he will or will not say that will embarrass us further. But speaking of the State of the Union, what you...
Or I was going to say, or what language he's planning to mumble it in.
I want to read an article, actually, from Mom's emails that Mom here sent me. It's by William Rivers Pitt, who writes great columns and sends them to truthout.org. So this is called The State of the Union by William Rivers Pitt. And it starts out with a poem by Charles Bukowski. It says, I knew that I was dying. Something in me said, go ahead, die, sleep, become them, accept. Then something else in me said, no, save the tiniest bit. It needn't be much, just a spark. A spark can set a whole forest on fire. Just a spark, save it. He shall from time to time, reads the Constitution, give to the Congress information of the State of the Union, and recommend to their consideration such measures as he shall judge necessary and expedient. That's a quote from the Constitution. And so it shall be. George W. Bush will be speaking tonight from the podium in the House of Representatives. Before him will be arrayed senators, representatives, generals, and judges. The balconies will be filled with observers, luminaries, reporters, and a few so-called special guests, whose presence will be used to reinforce some argument or another. It shall be quite a thing to see, a show worth watching, if only to observe exactly how many lies, distortions, threats, taunts, and smirks can be crammed into a single speech. He forgot uhs and ums.
Yeah.
This will be Mr. Bush speaking, after all, and the truth is not in him. It will be, in every pertinent sense, a mere commercial, a television advertisement from a failing company, a whitewashing of ugly truths by a staggering CEO whose sole desire is to keep the stockholders in line for another quarter. In the interest of truth, the actual State of the Union deserves to be displayed for all to see. This is the deal. This is how it is. Now, bear with me, folks. It's kind of a long article, but I think it's worth reading. Certainly more worth hearing than whatever it is the president's talking about tonight. The real economy. Since 2000, the number of Americans living in poverty has risen to nearly 37 million. More than 13 million of these are children. More than one in four American families with children make less than $30,000 a year. Look within that number and you will find 46% of African-American families with children and 44% of Hispanic families with children fall below this mark. Average annual income for Americans fell once again in 2005. 46 million Americans live without health insurance. The response to this? Vice President Cheney, 3 days before Christmas, cast the tie-breaking vote on a spending reduction bill that will fall most heavily on the poor, the infirm, and the elderly. Funding for health care, child support, and education subsidies for low-income families has been gutted. Medicaid benefits for the poor were cut by $7 billion, and Medicare programs for the elderly were cut by $6.4 billion. Federal student loan programs were cut by $12.7 billion. On the very same day, the Senate passed legislation that drastically cut funding for the Departments of Labor, Health and Human Services, and Education. The Head Start program was hit especially hard. The cuts here eliminate some 25,000 slots for low-income children. All in all, these spending reductions are expected to save $40 billion. Meanwhile, recently passed tax cuts ravaged the budget far more deeply than these drastic budget cuts. Two tax cuts in particular that went into effect on New Year's Day will cost $27 billion, more than half of what the spending reductions are supposed to save. These cuts will cost more than $150 billion over the next 10 years. 97% of the money from these cuts will go to households making more than $200,000 a year. Households with income under $100,000 will get 0.1% of these cuts. If all of Mr. Bush's tax cuts are stopped or allowed to expire, $750 billion will be added to the federal budget. That is more than enough to pay for the programs that have been eviscerated. It won't happen. Not with the priorities of this administration. But that is the simple math of the matter. New Orleans drowned in a bathtub. The first weeks of September brought to all Americans a devastating tragedy. The city of New Orleans was all but obliterated by Hurricane Katrina when levees meant to hold back the waters failed. The failure of these levees came, in no small part, because of unprecedented budget cuts for the Army Corps of Engineers, which was tasked to keep the levees viable. The tragedy was compounded by the utterly incompetent management of the Federal Emergency Management Agency and its head, Michael Brown, whose experience with disaster management came while he was serving as an attorney for owners of Arabian horses. In the weeks to follow, lavish promises were made by Mr. Bush.
"We will do what it takes. We will stay as long as it takes. Help citizens rebuild their communities, their lives," he said on September 15th.
Oh, those promises have been broken. We have gone from oaths to revive this cherished city to this. Quote, "I want to remind people in that part of the world, $85 billion is a lot," end quote, said Bush on January 26th. Hundreds of thousands of Americans remain displaced, many holding on by the skin of their teeth in cramped trailers. 30 million cubic yards, and we're going to put this on hold. Hopefully this is James calling from the protest. Let's see what we have. Kill Radio.
From the street.
Hey, James, how's it going, man?
It's going great. Got the crowd's grown to over 1,000 people, and they're marching. They're still marching east on Hollywood Boulevard, making a lot of noise.
And you guys are marching east towards the CNN headquarters, right?
Yeah, they're going to go, and then they're going to turn down Cahuenga to the CNN building.
And what's the vibe there? What's the atmosphere? Are people excited?
Yeah, people are chanting and making noise and calling for Bush to resign and step down, get out of office.
And what about the anger? How would you judge the level of anger?
Excuse me?
How angry are people?
Well, some people are pretty angry, yeah. But it's peaceful, you know. Philippines are peaceful.
Is there much of a police presence?
No problems with the police so far. They're just doing traffic and crowd control.
Excellent. When you called before, there were only 500 people. Now you say there's more like 1,000. Do you think it's going to continue to grow?
It seems like it's growing. I mean, people come in late and, you know, people are coming out of stocks and checking it out, waving and stuff like that.
Is there anybody out there on the street that you think is particularly interesting that maybe would like to be on the air?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. Let me try to get a little way away from the crowd.
Yeah, I know, it's very loud there.
I can hear you better.
I was just asking if there's anybody who'd like to come on the air.
Sorry, still didn't get it.
Okay, no worries. If you find anyone who wants to do an interview or talk about the protest or what they're doing there, you can put them on the phone.
Okay, maybe I'll do that once I get to the rally site.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, bye.
Call back soon. Okay, bye-bye. That was James calling in from representing the IMC over at the protest. They're marching down, I believe, Hollywood Boulevard towards Sunset and Cahuenga. They started at Hollywood Highland, and they're marching down to CNN News, where, of course, Wolf and gang are doing their coverage of the State of the Union, the real State of the Union. And sounds pretty noisy out there, pretty exciting. Sounds not dissimilar from some other protests that I've seen in L.A. We usually have a good turnout. People like to bring their signs, and the point of this is more than just, you know, obviously the signs and everything, but they're intentionally trying to make as much noise as they can. So somebody, who knows, God or somebody will hear them and take this asshole out of office. Back to the article we were reading, called the State of the Union is the name of the article by William Rivers Pitt, writing and submitting that to truthout.org. We were talking about how the budget cuts are really damaging this economy. And where we last left, we were talking about New Orleans and the disaster that was inherent in that. And how Bush basically promised all sorts of money and, of course, didn't come through. And here's where he left off. 30 million cubic yards of debris remain uncollected. The Washington Post estimated over the weekend that this was, quote, enough to build a five-sided column more than 50 stories tall over the Pentagon. Oh, incidentally, for anyone who's listening, I just want to throw this out there. If you want to call Kill Radio, and if you have any news about the protest or anything that strikes you about the State of the Union that you want to be put on the air, go ahead and give us a call. Our number is 213-252-0998. So go ahead and give us a call. You can also instant message me if you want to just ask a question, and I can read it over the air. Our Kill Radio instant messenger handle for AOL Instant Messenger is Kill Radio Station. That's one word, Kill Radio Station. All right, back to the article. What do we got? This is not even a plan, and there is not even a plan in place to begin to attack the problem. The Bush administration has left New Orleans to rot, and the next hurricane season is 4 months away. Anti-tax crusader Grover Norquist once famously stated that he wanted to shrink the federal government to the size where it could be drowned in a bathtub. As evidenced by the budget cuts, tax giveaways described above, many within this government... Excuse me just one moment. Okay, I cannot get that at the moment. Many within this government... You know, it's really distracting when somebody calls on your cell phone and you're doing live radio. That better be important. But I'm not going to get it. You guys are more important. I'm so jealous. I should be watching the State of the Union right now. Instead, I'm doing this. But this is more important than the actual State of the Union because this is actually what the State of the Union is. So I'm going to go back to where I was. As evidenced by the budget cuts and tax giveaways described above, many within this government feel as Norquist does. Thanks to their actions, the cuts in the Army Corps of Engineers budget, to the nomination of useless cronies like Brown, to vital positions of civil defense, to a war in Iraq that has bled the budget further and left Louisiana without sufficient National Guard troops to help the population, it is New Orleans that has been drowned in Norquist's bathtub. A major American city has been shattered, and nothing is done about it. To add insult to injury, the Bush administration utterly refuses to answer any questions on the matter. Senator Joseph Lieberman of Connecticut, perhaps the most widely known Democratic defender of Mr. Bush, is the ranking minority member of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee. Even Mr. Lieberman is flabbergasted by the stonewalling of the White House. My staff believes that DHS has engaged in a conscious strategy of slow walking our investigation in the hope that we would run out of time to follow the investigation's natural progression to where it leads. Lieberman said last week, at this point, I cannot disagree. There's been no assertion of executive privilege, just a refusal to answer. I have been told by my staff that most every question our staff has asked federal agency witnesses regarding conversations with or involvement of the White House has been met with a response that they could not answer on direction of the White House. Mark Falsia, a New Orleans native, operates a blog called Wet Bank Guide. On Monday, Mr. Falsia posted a message for Mr. Bush, quote, I've never lost the deepest allegiance I've ever held to my city. We have always known we were a people different and unique, as divided as we may seem. That sense of identity as a New Orleanian is the powerful bond that draws me on. It is the deep love of country that drives me, of my country, New Orleans, and southern Louisiana. It is the irrational, emotional attachment to my piece of America that leads men and women to go willingly up Bunker Hill, to follow General Pickett, to volunteer for Iraq. A life of assured privilege has protected you from having to take these sort of risks, continued Falsey. To find the strength to get up and go into the maw of uncertainty, to risk and gamble your own and not other people's lives or money. You can pledge allegiance or sing the anthem or give a stirring speech as well as any, but you know you have no allegiance except self-interest. If nothing moves you except your own self-interest, concluded Falsey, then consider this. There are hundreds of thousands of us scattered throughout most of the United States. We are everywhere you and your party will go to campaign. Arkansas and Atlanta and Austin, Dallas and Detroit and Denver, Los Angeles and Las Vegas, Baltimore and Boston, Chicago and Charlotte. Many will remain there indefinitely, unable to go home, precisely because you have lied to them and betrayed them. We will not let you escape from the net of lies you have woven. Wherever you turn, you will find us ready to call you out. End quote. The situation in New Orleans is a problem that will not go away. Men like Mark Falsey will make absolutely sure of that.
the next segment. Scandal is too small a word. The Abramoff scandal directly touches some 60 Republican congresspeople, according to campaign finance records that show where the disgraced lobbyist sent his money. Mr. Bush recently promoted the lead investigator in this case, effectively removing him from investigation. Despite this, the hard look into Mr. Abramoff's dealings continue. Mr. Abramoff's plea deal has a lot of people in Washington suffering from flop sweat. Patrick Fitzgerald's investigation into the outing of a deep-cover CIA agent by administration officials continues apace, and has already cashiered Cheney's chief of staff, Louis Libby. According to TruthOut.org, investigative reporter Jason Leopold, Fitzgerald has spent the past month preparing evidence he will present to a grand jury, alleging that White House Deputy Chief of Staff Karl Rove knowingly made false statements to FBI and Justice Department investigators and lied under oath while he was being questioned about his role in the leak of covert CIA agent Valerie Plame's identity more than 2 years ago, according to sources knowledgeable about the probe. Although there have been rumblings regarding Fitzgerald's probe into the Plame leak since he met with grand jury hearing evidence in the case more than a month ago, continued Leopold in his January 10th report, the sources said that Fitzgerald has been quietly building his case against Rove and has been interviewing witnesses, in some cases for the second and third time, who provided him with information related to Rove's role in the leak. None of this will be mentioned in the State of the Union speech tonight. The Bush administration continues to stonewall these investigations with all its might. Mr. Bush has denied ever knowing Jack Abramoff, despite the existence of several pictures showing them glad-handing each other in the White House, touching each other's buttocks and glad-handing each other in the White House and the Republican-controlled Congress will certainly do nothing to advance the questions being asked. In contrast, a portion of the speech will certainly be dedicated to moralistic sloganeering about values. Remember, as high-flown words about truth and justice are spoken, what the Abramoff and Plame scandals represent: a government run by thieves, stroked by swindlers, and staffed by assassins who sing of defending the nation even as they cast us down into greater danger. And by the way, the Enron trial started on Monday. The Middle East. 2,242 American soldiers have died in Iraq. Tens of thousands more are grievously wounded. Tens and tens of thousands of civilians are dead or maimed. Scores more simmer in rage and pick up weapons to attack American forces. American soldiers wishing to go around the Pentagon to augment their meager armor have been threatened with the revocation of death benefits for their families. A coalition of fundamentalist Shiite groups has taken over the government, the two main parts of which are notorious terrorist organizations with umbilical ties to Iran. Hundreds of billions of dollars have been spent to do this, and there is no end in sight. 3 years ago, in another State of the Union address, Mr. Bush told the nation that Iraq was in possession of 26,000 liters of anthrax, 38,000 liters of botulinum toxin, 500 tons, which is a million pounds, of sarin, mustard, and VX nerve agent, 30,000 munitions to deliver these agents, mobile biological weapons labs, Al-Qaeda connections, and uranium from Niger for use in robust nuclear weapons program. Right. Mr. Bush will have to work very hard tonight to tell a lie as vast, dramatic, and bloody as this. Certainly Mr. Bush will sing the praises of bringing democracy to the Middle East. It is worthwhile, however, to consider what his concept of democracy has accomplished to date. 6 months ago, a radical named Mahmoud Ahmadinejad was elected president of Iran. Thanks to the intense feelings within Iran's populace about the U.S. occupation of Iraq, Ahmadinejad has been able to unify the country behind the establishment of a nuclear program that frightens the rest of the world. Ahmadinejad's election itself owes a great deal to Mr. Bush's policies on Iraq. Last week, the terrorist organization Hamas was overwhelmingly elected by the Palestinian people to run their government, leaving the Fatah party shocked and displaced. While the success of Hamas has much to do with Fatah's corruption and lack of progress on several fronts, the slow radicalization of the general population in the Middle East once again can be laid at the doorstep of Mr. Bush. It has been revealed that Bush's decision to disengage from the peace process between Israel and Palestine several years ago was a disastrous choice. Couple that with the occupation of Iraq and the torture of its citizens,
and few can be surprised when general population in the Middle East turns toward more radical elements. Democracy is a tricky thing. The fact that people in Iraq, Iran, and Palestine are afforded the opportunity to vote, instead of suffering the absolute control of dictatorship, is arguably a good thing in the main. Yet, methods matter. When the Iraqi people are given the vote by way of a ravaging war that inflames the passions of the region and enshrines a radical government, democracy becomes its own worst enemy. When that ravaging war empowers a fringe president in Iran, democracy becomes its own worst enemy. Methods matter. Democracy does not exist in a vacuum. Wow, there's some serious emergency going on outside. Right outside Kill Radio. Hope I'm not double parked. What's going on out there?
I don't know. You're just sitting there.
Well, anyway, that's the sirens outside the Kill Radio studio. Looks like there might be a fire across the street. I'm going to pretend like there isn't. When democracy is forced upon a population at the point of a sword, that population will see the sword as the best viable option to exercise its collective will. Almost immediately, democracy will be used to elect radicals, and those radicals will dispose of democracy at the first opportunity. The radicalization of governments all across the Middle East has made the world substantially more dangerous. Mr. Bush will speak of progress tonight. The only progress being made is toward a general conflagration. On the other hand, ExxonMobil has posted a $32 billion profit for the last year. Woohoo! This stands as the largest single one-year profit in the entire history of the world. Progress, indeed. The unitary executive tapping your phone. This is a good one. Mr. Bush and friends have been jumping through flaming hoops to justify the blatantly illegal policy of spying on Americans by way of the National Security Agency. Their tortured arguments in favor of this action and their flat-footed declaration that the policy will continue makes confetti of the Fourth Amendment. More than that, however, it moves this nation one step closer to having an executive branch that supersedes all others in power and scope. Not only will Mr. Bush spy on whomever he pleases, but he will also torture whomever he pleases. Put simply, the constitutionally required separation of powers, the checks and balances that have maintained the stability of this republic, is being destroyed. This will echo down the corridors of our history long after Mr. Bush has left his office. On Monday afternoon, Senate Democrats failed to muster the necessary 41 votes needed to avoid cloture on the nomination of Samuel Alito. The man will be elevated to the highest court. Beyond the fact that Alito is hostile to a woman's right to choose, hostile to privacy rights in the face of unwarranted police intrusion, and hostile to the poor and disadvantaged, there is the matter of his opinion on the powers of the executive. In short, he agrees with Mr. Bush. What a guy. I'm getting an instant message from someone. Maybe they have something to say about the State of the Union or some such thing, from Rewrite Disasters. Let's see what they have to say. Let's finish up this article. We're almost done. Thanks for hanging with me. Please stick around. After the show, we have some fresh material from the people who do that, my favorite Kill Radio program, that I'll be, they're not able to come in today, but they sent me some files, so I'll play that. Of course, I'll cut in to that if James calls me from the protest so we can get some live information on what's going on over there. So, finishing up this article, The Reign of Witches. The state of this union is not good. We are poor, frightened, faced with the swelling ranks of enemies our leaders have created, and hell-bent to do away with the most precious aspects of our system of government. We are surveilled, propagandized, intimidated. We empower the radicals and disenfranchise the common good. We are fed swill via the television and thus convinced that what they tell us is what we already believe. We are bought and we are paid for. The radicals running this country have long desired to destroy the government's ability to govern. They found things like taxes intrusive, which is amusing when one hears them now defending warrantless spying on Americans. And they are well along the path toward success. The budget is destroyed, spent on tax cuts and the Iraq occupation, while millions of Americans suffer the loss of necessary services. The 1% of the 1% is making a killing, and the rest of us are left behind. If there is hope to be found in all this, it is in the words of Thomas Jefferson, written 208 years ago after the passage of the Sedition Act. This from Thomas Jefferson. A little patience, and we shall see the reign of witches pass over. Their spells dissolve, and the people, recovering their true sight, restore their government to its true principles. It is true that in the meantime we are suffering deeply in spirit, and incurring the horrors of a war and long oppressions of enormous public debt. If the game runs sometimes against us at home, we must have patience till luck turns, and then we shall have an opportunity of winning back the principles we have lost. For this is a game where principles are at stake. William Rivers Pitt is a New York Times and internationally best-selling author of two books, War on Iraq, What Team Bush Doesn't Want You to Know. Oh, I read that book. And The Greatest Sedition is Silence. What'd you think of that, Mom?
Obviously, I liked it. I sent it to you, didn't I? Actually, I'd like to comment on part of that where he's talking about the wiretapping that Bush does. And Bush is claiming that he's doing this to protect us because if he listens in on our conversations, like, for instance, when you and I are on the phone, mm-hmm. bad-mouthing him, somehow...
I'm sure he's listening to Kill Radio right now. Oh, no, I was giving a speech.
This is going to save us. But it's well known that between April and September 2001, the intelligence community gave him ample information that Al-Qaeda was going to attack us on American soil. And as late as August 2001, sweet little Condoleezza brought him information that was titled, Bin Laden Determined to Attack with Jet Airplanes. Yeah. Or I'm rephrasing.
Yeah, that was one of the greatest moments in C-SPAN television history. Yeah. What was it called? I believe it was called I'm an Idiot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he had all this information and did nothing with it. So how does tapping our phones mean anything? This is bull. This is just
well,
pure bull.
The thing about the tapping the phones that fascinates me is we had a system in place that allows you to tap people's phones without a warrant for, I think it was like 72 hours. And that's not good enough.
Okay, I have a theory. All right, don't call me paranoid here, but...
Here it comes, Mom's emails.
This is not a Mom's email. This is Mom. Since, yes, he could pretty much get permission from the judiciary to wiretap pretty much anybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were, what, like 20,000 requests and maybe 7 refusals on taps? I don't know the numbers, but it was something absurd. It suggests that if Bush is wiretapping without permission, it's because he's wiretapping something he really doesn't want us to know about. Mm. Shades of Richard Nixon, was he wiretapping Kerry headquarters? You laugh. I don't think that's so funny.
Oh, but mine's more of a diabolical laughter.
Oh, okay. But, I mean, think about it. Why wouldn't he have gone to the judiciary? He had 72 hours to do it. Not that he could use this information to prevent someone from taking jets and crashing it into the World Trade Towers. So what was it that he's hiding that he doesn't want us to know? And besides which, why is it that the NSA very rapidly started shredding documents when the New York Times revealed that this was going on? Who don't they want us to know that they've really been wiretapping?
Interesting. Interesting. You think it's you?
I think it was. I really do think that they were tapping into the Kerry system. And I mean, they did everything they could to steal this election again, and rather successfully.
On a slightly related and slightly creepier topic, we just played a media file at the beginning of the show, Cindy Sheehan being interviewed in Venezuela, talking about how she wants to run for office in opposition to Hillary Clinton. This just in from the Associated Press 7 minutes ago. I'm reading it online. Activist Cindy Sheehan arrested at Capitol. Cindy Sheehan, the mother of a fallen soldier in Iraq who reinvigorated the anti-war movement, was arrested and removed from the House gallery Tuesday night just before President Bush's State of the Union address, a police spokeswoman said. Sheehan, who had been invited to attend the speech by Representative Lynn Woolsey, a Democrat of California, was charged with demonstrating in the Capitol building, a misdemeanor, said Capitol Police Sergeant Kimberly Schneider. Sheehan was taken in handcuffs to police headquarters a few blocks away, and her case was processed as Bush spoke. Schneider said Sheehan had worn a T-shirt with an anti-war slogan to the speech and covered it up until she took her seat. Police warned her that such displays were not allowed, but she did not respond, the spokeswoman said.
Apparently, there is no longer any freedom of speech in this country unless it's pro-Bush speech.
Yeah, well, you know, he screens all the people. They have to have them all screened to come in. And
absolutely.
Yeah. Police handcuffed Sheehan and removed her from the gallery before Bush arrived. Sheehan was to be released on her own recognizance, Schneider said. I'm proud that Cindy's my guest tonight, Woolsey said in an interview before the speech. She has made a difference in the debate to bring our troops home from Iraq. Woolsey offered Sheehan a ticket on the speech, Gallery 5, Seat 7, Row A. Earlier Tuesday, while Sheehan was attending an alternative State of the Union press conference by Code Pink, a group pushing for an end to the Iraq war. Sheehan was arrested in September with about 300 other anti-war activists in front of the White House after a weekend of protesters against the war in Iraq. In August, she spent 26 days camped near Bush's ranch in Crawford, Texas, where he was spending a working vacation. They should just move. They should take the White House apart, brick by brick, and they should put it in Crawford, Texas.
I think that's what Bush thinks they've already done.
How can he spend so much time there? It blows my mind.
In his first year of his first term, he had already spent more cumulative time on vacation in Crawford than any other president had spent on vacation in their entire terms. Disgraceful. And let me remind you, folks, we pay his salary. And we'll continue when he's no longer president, because we have to not only give him his...
Secret Service?
Well, not the Secret Service. What is it? His pension.
Keys to the city?
But his Secret Service and his wife's Secret Service and his bimbo daughter's Secret Service.
Hey.
I shouldn't have said that.
That's not nice.
Maybe true, but probably not nice.
Well... Kill Radio Tuesday News, our hour is up. I'm going to play some new stuff for you from the people who do that. Stay tuned, though. Listen to it. I'm sure it's a great show. Their work is always good. And if James from the IMC calls in from the protest, we will break in to talk about that. If you're watching the State of the Union...
I'm sorry.
I hope you're drinking. Thanks for listening to Kill Radio. Mom, thanks for joining me today.
Thank
on the
you
Kill
so
Radio
much
Tuesday
for having
News.
Me. Good night,
this
dear.
This has been the Kill Radio Tuesday News.